Every time I say hello, I'm tempted to say, hello, I'm Johnny Cash. I don't know why, but some of you get that. I'd say most of you at the age where you get that, but I'm not Johnny Cash. My name is Steve McQueen, which all my life I've gotten comments and jokes about that. And if you understand why, then you're probably showing your age. I want to wish everyone a very happy Mother's Day. It's a beautiful day for it. We were hoping that today would be like yesterday, but sometimes it rains, and that's okay. But I wanted to share with you how I came to have a relationship with Christ and how I got saved. I want to share my testimony with you. And I was born in London, Kentucky in 1975, and I didn't grow up in a church, but I had an uncle that took me to a few church services, and then there was this funny painted school bus that would come around to a playground near my apartments, and they had Christian puppet shows, and so I think that some seed of God's word was planted in me. And when I was in fourth grade, my mom joined the Army, and we moved to Texas, and then we lived around the world. We lived overseas, and it was really exciting. And eventually, we ended up in Colorado Springs. And when I was in junior high, and I was never a popular kid, and I got teased and things like that. I always fought back, but I caught a lot of grief. But then one summer in junior high, I didn't cut my hair, and it got kind of long, and I went back to school. I was wearing a black t-shirt, and a group of kids with long hair that listened to heavy metal and stuff, they called the Stoners. They took notice of me, and they started giving me attention. And eventually, they kind of adopted me as a leader, and I really enjoyed that attention, and I learned to love the things to get me that attention. And then one day, during lunchtime, we were out in this field behind the school, and we would just hang out back there and smoke and sing heavy metal songs, and we did this dance where we'd like slam into each other. It doesn't make much sense. But one day, they started singing this song, and it's a popular AC/DC song. And if you become sensitive to it like I have, you hear it everywhere. It's in movies. It's in the movie Iron Man. It's even in the cartoon movie Megamind. And the song is called I'm on a Highway to Hell. They started singing that song, but they were adding a lyric. They were saying, and Steve's driving, because I was kind of their leader. And when I heard that, I had some kind of panic attack, and I got mad, and I told them, don't ever say that again. Of course, I freaked them out. I didn't know much about God, but I knew that if there's a place called hell, I did not want to go there. And so I continued to get into trouble in Colorado till eventually my mom had to send me back to Kentucky to live with my dad when I was about 16 or 17, almost 17. And of course, I hated it, but eventually I learned how to get in trouble there too. So, and I had three uncles on my dad's side, and my favorite was my Uncle Ronnie. And he was a wild man. He spent his time working on his hot rod. He played electric guitar, played heavy metal. He was really good at it. And he grew pot back in the woods in Kentucky. And despite my dad threatening all of my uncles not to contribute to my delinquency, he would give it to me as much as I wanted. So he was my favorite uncle. And but then eventually he got caught and he went to jail. And my favorite uncle, while he's in jail, I never went, never thought to go and visit him or anything. But then when he got out, I was going to my dad's pawn shop, and as I was arriving, he was leaving. And I said, "Hey, Ronnie, let's go party. Let's go burn one." And he said, "Steve, I don't do that anymore." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I got saved." I said, "What do you mean you got saved?" And I started arguing with him about it. And he said, "I don't have time to talk right now. I got to be someplace." Well, I found a way to catch a ride out to his house about 9 or 10 miles out of town with no thought of how I was going to get home, because I wanted to argue this point with him. Because I was a pretty smart kid and I liked to argue. I was really good at it. I'd argue with people until I had them arguing with themselves. And my Uncle Ronnie, I think he dropped out of school. I think he had a fourth or fifth grade education. He couldn't read or write very well. And, with what he had been telling me, now I'm thinking, this favorite uncle, now I'm thinking he's an ignorant hick, you know, and I'm going to go talk to him about this God stuff. So I get there that night, and we start to talk. And I didn't know it at the time, and I don't know he knew it at the time, but God was calling him to be a preacher. And within 10 minutes, God put the words in his mouth to have me in tears. I mean, I was broken. And I felt like I got a heart transplant that night. And one of the things that he said that really got to me, he said, "I used to play that guitar and I would sing, 'I'm on a highway to hell.'" He said, "And I was." He said, "But now, thanks to God's grace and mercy, I'm heading towards a better place." And when I left that night, I went down the road to stay at a friend's house that lived fairly close to him. But when I got out in his driveway, my legs gave out, and I got down on my knees under the moonlight, and I cried out to God. Because I didn't understand it all, and I told him, I said, "You know me. I'm lazy. I'm irresponsible. I screw everything up, and I can't do this. I need you." And my prayer was that no matter what it takes or how long it takes, if you have to drag me kicking and screaming to the cross, please save me, because I don't want to die and go to a devil's hell. Now, for quite a few years after that, I continued to run around wild in Kentucky and get into trouble. But there was a difference. I couldn't enjoy it like I used to, because I knew the truth. And every night before I could go to bed, every single night, with almost no exceptions, I could not go to sleep until I said that prayer again. I would say, "God, whatever it takes, however long it takes, bring me to the cross. I don't want to die and go to hell." And I said that same prayer every night for I don't know how many years, until it seemed stale and old, but it was my only hope, so I kept on praying. And eventually, things got kind of rough for me in Kentucky, and I ended up moving to Iowa chasing an old flame, and thank God that didn't work out. I prayed for it to work out. His answer was no, and it was the best answer I could have got. But then I met my wife, who I'm very lucky to have. She's been amazing. And then my son was born, and then we got married, a little out of order, but we tried to get it straight. And then one night, I was feeling aggravated or something like that. And so I drove to Humboldt looking for a guy named Jay. And I knew he always kept some weed on him or whatever, and that's what I was looking for, to unwind. And I tracked him down to this house, and him and a couple other guys were down in this basement playing video games and smoking pot. And they had me come in, and, you know, they're passing it around, and they start talking about how the Bible is a book full of lies and myths, and God isn't real, and all this stuff like that. And I knew they were wrong. And I just sat there and listened. I didn't say a word. And they kept smoking, and I did too, and it didn't do anything for me. When I left, it was just like when I got there. Except there was some turmoil going on inside of me because I'd kept my mouth shut, and I knew what the truth was. It was really late at night, and I'm heading back towards Algona, and I had this little S10 truck that was an old company truck for my work that I'd bought from them, and this battle going on inside of me was just tearing me apart. And so I turned the radio on for a distraction. And I don't know why it was on this station, because I didn't intend for it to be on this station. But it was a Christian radio station. And they were singing some song that didn't appeal to me, but I knew all the words were right. So I felt like, okay, I'll do my duty. I'll listen to it till the end, and then I'll change it. And when it was over, I changed the station, and it was another Christian radio station. And I got out, I got mad, and I had kind of a little outburst and said some things out loud. And I thought, isn't there anything on this radio but this GD Christian radio stuff? And I heard a voice loud. I mean, I don't know if it was audible, but it was... it was loud, and it said, if you don't want to hear this, change the channel one more time. And I changed the channel, and it was silence. And then the song started playing. And it only took a few seconds for me to recognize it. And the hair on the back of my head stood up, and you know that feeling where your scalp is shrinking, and I feel almost like my eyes were bugging out, and I thought, oh no, it can't be that song. It can't be that song. It's another AC/DC song that sounds kind of like that song, but it can't be that song. And I'm listening, and it's leading up to those words I didn't want to hear, and I know it's that song. It was, you know, Highway to Hell. And my fingers hovering over the button because I don't want to hear those words. But and then this voice says, if this isn't what you want, change it one more time. And I just kept my finger there. And just before it said those words that I despised, I changed the station. And there was a man preaching. And he was preaching about everything that had happened that night, and he was refuting what those guys were saying, and he was talking about how God was real and you can stand on every word of the Bible, and he was just addressing everything that had been said that night, and God continued speaking to me, and he told me that tonight is the night that I'm going to answer your prayers. And he told me where I needed to go and what I needed to do. And a lot of you are probably familiar with a spot about 11 miles south of town, Jake's Corner or Divine Recreation Center or whatever, a place I like to go fishing. And there was a spot back there, and God was telling me to go back to this spot and turn it all over to him. And he's continually speaking to me, and I can hear it loud and strong. And I can also hear the guy on the radio too. And, you know, I can walk and chew bubblegum at the same time, but I can't follow two conversations, but everything was sinking in. But as I'm going down the road, I'm thinking, am I losing my mind? Am I really going to do this? And I'm getting closer and closer, still wondering if I'm actually going to do this. And then as I'm getting closer, I go through St. Joe. I'm thinking, well, I'll pull off at that first little road. What does it matter where I go? And God said, no, you go where I want you to go. And at the last minute, I hit those brakes and I pull in. I was moving too fast. I couldn't go where I wanted to go. I passed that and I had to go where God wanted me to go. And so I pull off and there's this little patch of sand in the moonlight there on the other side of the truck. And I go and I get down on my knees and I poured out my heart to God. And I asked him to wash me clean with the blood of Jesus. And I just really poured it out. While my eyes were closed, there, normally I don't get scared, but there that night with my eyes closed sitting there, I got frightened. And then I remembered something my Uncle Ronnie had said, and I felt like there were angels surrounding me. And I almost felt like if I opened my eyes, if I peeked, that I might see them, but I didn't dare. And I finished my prayer, and then I opened my eyes, and I said, God, is that it? He says, that's it. He says, now go home and tell your wife. So I stand up, and I start to head towards the car or the truck. And God says, if you want to be healed of smoking, throw your cigarettes out in the river. And I only hesitated for a second, and I pulled them out, and I threw them out in the river. And the river was frozen. I didn't realize that. But then I realized I had my lighter in my hand, too. And I threw it out there with everything being going on. When it hit, I almost expected an explosion or nothing, but nothing happened. And God did heal me of smoking for 5 years. I could be around it, and nothing fazed me. One night, having a rough time and feeling sorry for myself, I ended up getting a cigar and went out by the river and had that. And then that started me back battling it ever since. And I felt like that hurt my testimony. But the main thing was still there, and I think that he did that so that I would have some kind of physical evidence of what had happened so that I understood the reality of the what I couldn't prove. But in any case, I get back in the truck, and I started up, and I'm heading towards town, and this man's still on the radio preaching. And as I'm coming up the hill by the hospital, I pressed the button because it's showing the time and I want to see what station it was. When I pressed the button, it showed it was 95.5. But I lost the station. It went to static. So I turned it off and I came home and I told Billy Joe what had happened, and I don't know how she could understand me through all the tears. And she said, does this mean we're going to church tomorrow? Because it was a Saturday night. And I said, you better believe we're going to church tomorrow. Now, I had only been to two churches in town. There's a church on the other end of town that some friends had me go to with them for a while. But something I realized pretty quickly there was that they were not teaching the Bible. And at some point, someone had me to this church. I don't even remember who or when. But I had been here one time, and I knew that the Bible was preached here, so we came here. And we came in and we sat right there. And the regular preacher wasn't in that day. And another guy, Jay Rudolph, was bringing the message. When he started talking, after a while I realized that this is the same things that I heard on the radio the night before. And then eventually it dawned on me that this is the very same man that I heard on the radio the night before. And when I realized that, I can't explain it. I was on fire. I wanted to jump up and run around. And I impatiently waited to speak to him. And he finished the message. And I went around and I waited in the back. And everyone was shaking his hand and talking to him and everything. And finally he came back there and I told him what had happened. Of course, I had tears in my eyes and he did too. And when I told him the station I'd heard it on, he said, "There's another miracle here that you don't even realize yet." And I didn't appreciate it for a while until I really checked into it. But the station that I heard it on, 95.5, is on the other side of Mason City, and it is their smallest, weakest broadcast station. It doesn't usually reach from halfway here from Mason City. And I've tested it. We've traveled, and it always cuts out where it's supposed to. But coming up from Humboldt, it was coming through loud and clear. And so I realized just how far out of his way God went to reach me that night. So I feel like God led me to this church. I love this church. And it's been amazing. The people are amazing, and I've felt a lot of love from the people in this church. Now, this past week has changed a lot of things for me and my family. Monday, I went in for an awkward procedure. And then Wednesday, I learned that I had some serious problems. Thursday, I went in for a CT scan, and about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I got a call from my surgeon. And when I hung up the phone, I was feeling like I was already a dead man. But then 2 hours later, I was alive again, and I'll tell you how that happened. But first, I want to tell you what my surgeon told me. He said, "Things are not what we were hoping for." He said that that there's a lot of diseased lymph nodes and that there are spots in my liver and there's spots in my lungs. So it is, what do they call it? It's stage 4. So the first thing I did was I talked to my wife, and she was sitting nearby when I took the call, so she knew something was up. And I know she felt as devastated as I did. And then I went out and I called my mom first, and then I talked to my dad, and then I talked to my brother. Something I learned in Taekwondo, and some of you guys probably know this, but I've been doing martial arts for 37 years. It's been my lifelong passion. My mom got me involved in it when I was 10 years old. But then about 15, 16 years ago, I had to buy the school from my instructor or allow it to close. So I stepped up and I began teaching. And something I realized teaching it is that there are some things that you learn by teaching that you can't learn otherwise. And even the things that you think you know, when you share it with others, it creates a deeper meaning and takes you to a greater understanding. And with that same idea, as I talk to my family and I talk to them about God's love and God's will, and talked about time, about what's more important than the amount of time you have is what you do with it, things changed for me. And I realize, as tough as this is, it's also an opportunity. It's an opportunity for me to quit wasting my time and to be about my Father's business and to make the most of every day. So on that same idea of learning from teaching, when I talked to my mom first. Her and her husband just moved down to Florida. And then I talked to my dad in Kentucky. And after they had a moment to get over the shock of it, the first thing that they both said, word for word, was, "Son, if I could change places with you right now, I would." And I understand the sentiment because I am a father and I've seen my family in pain and suffering, and I had wished that I could change places with them. But as human beings, as people, we don't have that power. But we have a Father in heaven that has all the power. And when he looks down and he sees his children suffering, when he sees the sin like a disease or a cancer inside of us, destroying us from the inside out, he's moved with love and compassion. And he had the power and has the power, and he took our place. He took that sin on himself and gives us real life and a chance to live with him forever. And that's what the cross is about. And that's what a father's love is. And it's amazing that we're given an opportunity to be a part of his plan and to go out and tell people about his love. We need to be about our Father's business, and we don't need to put it off. We need to do it right away, because none of us have the promise of another day. You know, we can sit in here and if we pay attention to the preaching, we can know it. But if we take it out and share it with the lost, then we're living it. And if you're not living, you're dead. And that's what the Bible means when it talks about faith without works. So we need to be about our Father's business. This past week, I've just been amazed by the amount of love and support from everyone around me. It's been amazing. And you know, all my life, I have trained to be a fighter. But I wasn't ready for this. But I've got a fight ahead of me, and my family's going to help. And I would ask you that you remember me and my family when you pray, that we have the strength to fight and to do it right by leaning into the Lord and depending on Him for our needs. And then I also pray that He'll use this, however it turns out, to bring glory and honor to His name and to the name of Jesus Christ. That's about all I've got. And I want to thank you for allowing me to come up here and speak to you. And you guys have been so special to me. And I appreciate everything.